Hey, good morning, everybody. It is 10:52 a.m. on Friday, November 17th. We are back on the record in the administrative appeal of the Main Street Cottages preliminary short plat approval. That's file number 22-02361, and the appeal has permit number 23-02934. When we took a quick recess, I believe we are going to be resuming with appellant's next witness, and it's a bit before 11. So I was wondering if Mr. Mackey is available at this time. Is that who you wish to call next, Mr. Akihito?
We're all lucky. I think we're going to skip the other two witnesses.
Okay, great. Okay.
And what I totally, just as an aside, I totally forgot to do my opening st statement and just jumped.
Oh, yeah.
But it's okay.
That's all right. We have the post-hearing brief, so you can tie it all in. Okay. So, Mr. Akihito, do you have any other witnesses you wish to call?
No.
Okay. All right then. We will proceed with Kitsap County. Mr. Getchess, who do you wish to call at this time?
Like to recall Ms. Schaefer, please.
Okay.
Hi again.
Hi, good morning again. I will just remind you that you are still under oath, and I will turn it over to Mr. Getchess to commence his examination.
Thank you. Ms. Schaefer, I'd like to start by showing you Exhibit B1, applicant's Exhibit B1. I'll see if I can pull that up. And go share screen. Can you see that?
I can.
Let me zoom in a little bit. This lets me zoom. Doesn't actually let me.
If you go to the two bottom right-hand corner, there's two like magnifying glass things. I think that will allow you to zoom in.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, right
Here we
there.
go. I was just using control and that'll allow it.
Okay, boomer.
All right.
Oh my gosh, respect everyone.
Okay, so can you tell what area this is, what we're looking at here?
Yeah, that's the subject property.
And when you say that is, are you talking the part sort of highlighted in green?
Correct.
The green rectangle. Okay. And we're going to be looking at other photos later. And so this is a good photo to start with, just to get an idea of where everything is in relation to the subject property. And how about, can you read the road name on that's running north south here? This is,
Bannister.
so this is Bannister Street. And then this one doesn't have the name on it, this dead end road, but do you know the name of it?
Yeah, it's Main Street.
That's Main Street.
And
Okay.
Main, like the state with an E at the end.
Oh, good catch there. And do you know who owns this property over here? This about one, two, three lots to
I
the.
think that's the appellant's house, I think.
Okay. That's what I was wondering. And is this, because of the shade here, it's not that easy to see, but is this subject property developed at all?
No, it's not.
So there's no houses or anything.
Correct.
Okay, so like if we zoom in, and what about this driveway here? Is that on the subject property?
It doesn't look like it is, so I'd say no.
No, it's not. That goes to this, and you can barely see it, but there is a house here, but that's not on the subject property either, is it?
It is not on the subject property.
That's on the neighbor's property. Okay, so and the size, do you recall the size of the subject property?
0.37 acres.
Okay. And let's see. Do you know whether, hard to tell again with the shadow here, we might see it in other photos, whether when the Village Green was built, you can see trees going all around the border, but what about in the shadow here between the subject parcel and Village Green, were there trees built there or planted there? Do you know?
Yeah, it's my understanding that the Village Green did need to provide a landscape plan with their approval that would have required a screening to the UVC zone.
All right, and just for reference, this building right here, what is this building again?
Oh, that's the Village Green. I think it's the senior center or the senior housing of the Village Green development.
Oh, I see. All right. And this Village Green has a standard foundation, right? It's not built on stilts or anything, right?
No, it is not. It's
okay. Are any of these other houses
not on grade? I don't think they're built on stilts. Did you say stilts? Okay.
Or up here?
They all look like they're slab on grade from what I'm seeing.
And then we've got a landmark here, the tennis courts. In other photos from other angles, it's easy to spot the tennis courts. And that'll tell us where to look.
Yeah.
You can't really see. You can just kind of see the edge of these two large parcels here. Do you know what those parcels are? What's on the parcels?
Yeah, I think there is a park to the east over here.
Do you recall the name of it?
Cola Coal Park?
Okay, yep.
Cola Coal. Is it Cola Coal? I think it's Cola Coal Park.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, thanks.
So that's open to the public and people can have potlucks and there's a playground for kids and all that. Is that right?
Yeah, I would assume people could do all those things.
Okay. And now I want to go to A25. So I'm going to X out of this and see if this works. We'll share a... Oh, screen sharing has stopped. Okay. Okay, can you see this?
Yes.
All right, what are we looking at now? Do you know?
It's the subject property.
Okay, but is this normally there?
Yeah, that's not there.
Okay, so it looks like this is an image that's been altered to show a copy of this single family residence, which is not on the subject property. And the driveway we were looking at in the first exhibit, which is not on the subject property. So none of this is on the subject property.
Correct.
And then there's been a duplicate of the image here. And since this says tree drip lines, presumably to show maybe where the roots go and that maybe a single family residence could be built here. If this just hypothetically were done, like if your site plan that was presented to you was this, would this meet the minimum density?
If it was a single family residence, no, because it's only one unit. Yeah.
Okay. And let's see. Does this evergreen tree look healthy to you? It's circled here.
No, that was the one that Steve Heacock and I looked at that didn't look healthy to us.
What about this one next to it? This little one.
Yeah, that doesn't look healthy either.
Okay. And you mentioned, I think, briefly, but again, these trees, we have a critical area section in our code. Is that correct?
Yes, we do.
That defines what a critical area is, right?
Correct.
Would these trees meet that definition of a critical area?
No, there is no critical areas on the subject property.
If somehow they met the definition of critical area, could that affect when you're doing your analysis of what is the developable area? What is the minimum density?
Absolutely. Yeah.
These aren't critical areas, right?
I mean, correct.
If they were, if the code got changed, but they're not, right?
Correct. They're not critical areas.
Okay. And there are also minimum parking requirements too, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to take you to the next exhibit now. Scroll down, see what this shows. And can you see the same house on the neighboring parcel here and the end of the of Main Street dead ending here before you get to the subject property? And do you recall the first exhibit we were looking at, I should have asked you, but the bottom of the green rectangle didn't extend to these trees, right? They're across the vacated right-of-way, right?
Correct. Those are on the neighboring parcels.
Okay. And so in terms of what we're looking at for a possible location, oh, and before I forget, what is this where my cursor is here at behind the trees we're talking about?
I think that's the screening buffer for Village Green, the fence for Village Green.
Fence. What's on the other side of the fence?
Yeah, the screening buffer. So it looks like trees. So typically our screening requirements are trees and then a fence.
And so what's this little piece of a roof? What building was that we were looking at?
And is that Village Green? I'm not sure.
I would imagine.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. But
on that side of the fence, you can see, well, it's kind of obscured the rest of it, but at least before I forgot, I wanted to mention that. So, and then are these the two trees that you were a little thought didn't look so great?
Yeah. Okay. Well, the first one, I didn't see the second one until you pointed it out, but yeah, I see it now.
Okay. Okay, so if minimum density is 4, somehow they've got to fit 4 houses or 4 dwelling units in this little area?
Correct.
Okay. Let's see what else we have. Let me scroll down. This is a nice picture. And you can see the tennis courts. And then what's this right by the tennis courts?
You remember? That's the Village Green, yeah.
That gives us an idea of the trees that we were talking about, but it also gives us an idea that these are not the last remaining trees in the area. I mean, so for example, if there was an osprey or something flying over the Puget Sound, and then he comes over Apple Tree Cove here and starts to get tired, you could still land on one of these trees right here.
Yeah, it could.
And take a rest. Okay. I'm just going to scroll down to, there was one image. Which one is this? This is number A27. A29. Go to A29, which is page 113. So I think I can just go like this and go over the page numbers and go. Okay, this picture here. And so if you take this street address, this is the Brown and White House. This is PDF page 113, Appellant's Exhibit 29. And did you have a chance to look up this address 10797 in Kingston at all or no?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Well, for the sake of argument, if this is a single family residence and this was on the parcel, would that meet the minimum density?
If that was on the parcel, no, because it's a single family residence.
Okay. And what else comes to mind when you look at this?
There's a very big tree very close to it.
There is. Do we know anything about the trees that were there before this was built?
No, we don't.
Okay. What about parking for four?
For four units or four?
Yeah. Like on the other one, the minimum parking, well, the parking they've got is 12. Does it look like there's parking for 12 here?
No.
Okay. And then even if there is no apparent destruction to this structure yet, which we don't know exactly when it was built, but does that mean you have no concerns at all about the size of this tree and in a windstorm or something?
I mean, if I live that close, I would be a little nervous, but it's really based on everybody's personal comfort level with having adjacent trees. So okay. Some people may not be as comfortable, others may be.
Okay. And we did spend some time already looking at the Kingston design standards. So let's see, I don't know if we need more on that, but let me just check. And I just wrote these up recently, so that's why I'm, otherwise I would just be asking them to you directly.
Well, it's not like you haven't had any other things to do.
I know. It's been a busy few weeks. And then we asked about, is there any requirement, for example, of building a house without a foundation or up on stilts or something like that, that you're aware of?
So the only time we've required that is in a flood zone. Okay. To have like the base flood elevation be elevated 1 foot, or have the lowest floor being elevated 1 foot above that base flood elevation. And sometimes that can be accomplished with stilts, but that's the only time we've required it is in a flood zone.
Okay. So is the subject property in a flood zone?
It is not.
In that whole area, that part of Kingston, can you recall ever requiring something that extreme of anybody else?
No.
Based on trees?
Not based on trees, no. I mean, there probably are some properties in flood zones on the shore in Kingston, but outside of flood zones, no, not for trees.
So, for example, in the neighborhood we were looking at in the first picture where the Village Green is, where the subject property is, you would have to treat this applicant different than you've treated everybody else in order to make that kind of a requirement, correct?
Correct.
And did you mention this parcel, is it located did you say whether you thought that the applicant could safely meet the minimum density and parking requirements on that parcel without removing the trees?
I don't think that could be accomplished without removing a tree or removing the trees.
And is this in an urban growth area?
It is.
In fact, the comp plan designation, urban high density residential. Is that right?
Correct.
And do we typically have higher minimum densities within the urban growth areas?
We do.
To protect areas outside the urban growth area?
Correct. Yeah. So the densities are lower in the rural zone and higher in the urban zones.
Okay. And protect against sprawl and so on.
Correct. We want growth to happen in the UGAs.
Yep. Okay. Yes. I'm now going to go out of the appellant's exhibits and I'm going to go back to the foundational exhibits. So I'm going to close that and I'm going to go to these. And actually, is my screen still sharing?
No.
Okay. So I will then go screen share and go to here. I go share. How about now?
Yes.
Okay. So let's go to, let's just go to page 212, which is F26. So we'll go to, F26, and we're going to have to first go like this, go like 212. What are we looking at here?
That's the, excuse me. That's the landscaping plan submitted by the applicant for the preliminary plat.
The landscaping plan. Okay. And what are these four, lot A, lot B, lot C, lot D? What are those?
Those are the proposed footprints of single family dwellings.
Okay. And then what about these gray areas with little outlines of cars on them? What are these? There's one in front of each of those houses.
Yeah, that's the parking.
Okay. And so two parking spots outside, and then I think wasn't there a garage with
I think so.
Size to get a total of 12.
Yeah, I think so.
8 plus 4. And then what are these circles with little flowery designs inside of them? What are those?
Those are proposed trees.
Is this what you were referring to when you said there will be trees?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
They're required to have landscaping that includes trees.
Okay. And then the species will be decided later, but it'll come from the approved tree list?
Correct. It's conditioned, yeah.
Is that in the Kingston Design Standards?
I believe that the list of trees available, like that are required to be on here, are in the Kingston Design Standards.
Okay. Go to page 215. What are we looking at here? I think it says what it is down in the lower right corner.
Yeah, that's a grading plan. I think that's with the SDAP.
That's what I was going to ask you about it. So we see a little more detail here, but when you say with the SDAP, what's the significance of that?
That's the site development activity permit. And that is essentially the grading permit, really detailing the ground disturbance of what's going to be built, like the stormwater controls, the grading, the utilities, the driveways, and things like that. That's all considered in this plan.
Okay. And has there been a decision on the SDAP yet?
No, it's still under review. In fact, it's under review.
So if there hasn't been, then you can't appeal that yet, right?
No.
Okay. And then I see Main Street, and then I see it going up. I see the neighbor's lot. What are these stars here?
So those are the trees that were on the other properties to the south.
Okay. Okay. So those are still there on somebody else's property. And then what is this brick looking area here? What is that surface?
So I think those are pavers that are going to serve as the driveway easement for the plat, the short plat.
Okay. I don't have anything else for you now, Ms. Schaefer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can you leave that up for me, David?
Sure.
Okay.
That's a true boomer. I'm getting David to do it for me.
All right, okay. Mr. Beebe, you may ask your questions.
Thank you. Catherine, I'll be brief, said the lawyer. the report of Rick Walsh that we filed, that the arborist, he says it's about 80% of the lot when it's developed in accordance with the maximum, the minimum density, is about 80% of the lot is going to be disturbed based on looking at these designs. Is that kind of accurate? Looks about right.
So after the lot is disturbed, 80% of it will be disturbed? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, about 80% looking at these designs. It's about 80% will have utilities, parking, the buildings themselves, the access roads, lighting, and all of that.
Yeah, I think that's about right? a fair calculation.
Okay. Yeah. And then if we looked at, if we went back to the drip line pictures that Landon submitted, it's clear that you can't do the maximum density. Mr. Wall says the roots go out to the drip line, basically. So with his, Landon's pictures, we can see that there would be a significant disturbance of the tree roots with all of this 80%, correct?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. I thought so, too. And then he actually looked at these plans and came to the opinion that you couldn't save the existing trees safely. So he looked at these plans. That's all for that. I would go to Amanda. Could I ask you just to pull up F23, the Kingston design standards from the request? And again, I acknowledge I'm a boomer and I could probably do that, but we'd be here another 20 minutes.
Is there a page that you want me to go to?
No, actually, if you just scroll right about there, it's good. Yeah. There's actually almost 75 pages of this document, correct? These design standards?
Yes. Yeah.
And they cover everything from Article 6, which talks about architectural design and requires that these craftsman-style homes be conforming with the neighborhood, surrounding neighborhood. In your opinion, do those little craftsman style one, two bedroom units that are proposed, does that fit in with the character of the neighborhood?
So I haven't seen any home elevations yet, but from the description, the narrative that I asked for that was submitted, it does sound like that the architecture does meet the intent of the Kingston design standards.
Okay.
But that'll further be evaluated at the building permit level when we see the house elevations.
Okay. And then like the final chapter says, all utilities have to be underground. That's mandatory. Yeah. But there's 75 pages. So this isn't a punch list where you have to hit every single one correct to in order to just, you know, build on your property. It's great. And you used your discretion in looking at all of these in recommending approval.
Yes, correct.
Good. Thank you. I like it when people agree with me. And if we could go back to one more applicants, the number one, B1, Amanda, please.
B1, yeah.
It's the images of the tree removal. And just scroll down to the, yes, that's excellent right there. This is, and I think on the rest of the exhibit, you would see it's about 2.4 acres of trees. This is from the county records, I want to say 2013, 2014. It shows about 2.4 acres of trees, correct?
I'd have to take your word. I'm not sure about the 2.4, but yeah, that's about
I
right.
I think if you scroll down just a little bit more, Amanda.
Okay, 2.4. Okay, yeah.
And all of those are gone right now, except for the four or five large trees on this property and four or five smaller trees, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Okay. I don't have any further questions.
So could I ask one thing while we've got this image up?
Sure.
So Ms. Schaefer, just to the left, that's where the Village Green is now, right?
Correct.
So there were some trees there before.
Yeah, a lot.
Okay.
Oh, a question. To your knowledge, did anyone appeal any of the removals of any all these other trees or projects? I don't know how long you've been there, but for the Village Green or the Pearson property, the Senior Center, and even the Village Green parking up above, to your knowledge, was there an appeal of the removal of significant trees?
So the approval for the Village Green came out in 2011, and I started working at the county in 2015. So okay. I would have to look that up. I don't know. I don't think so, but I'd have to confirm.
Okay.
I keep doing it backwards with my mute, unmute. All right. Any other questions on direct from the county or from Mr. Beebe before I turn it over to Mr. Akahito?
Not from the county.
None from me, Your Honor.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Mr. Akahito, do you have some cross-examination for Ms. Schaefer?
Sure. Just a couple questions. Ms. Schaefer, is there a minimum size for homes in the UVC?
For actual structures?
Yeah.
Like actual homes? So we do have a code for tiny homes. Uh-huh. Or we do have requirements. For example, it has to have a kitchen, at least one bathroom. So there are standards. I don't think there's a square footage. I think that you have to have certain amenities. But that would be in the building code. So I admit I'm not as familiar with that code.
Sure. And then are alternative foundations allowed, or are they only are they allowed? Like say piers or stilts or whatever. Are they allowed in as functional building?
So as long as they met the building code requirements, which would be like engineering and things like that, they would be allowed. Yes.
Okay. So just to confirm on the KDS, the Kingston Design Standards, not all the 75 pages are mandatory, correct? According to you.
Well, some of them are objectives and.
Okay.
And it's all case by case basis on a reviewing what you're reviewing.
Sure. But they are given priority, correct? Given the conflict clause.
Yeah, we do review them. We do review projects against KDS as well as code.
With priority.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Just looking through my notes real quick. If the county or if the developer demonstrated that they could, well, never mind. I think I'm okay. Thanks.
Okay, any other questions?
Not from the county.
Can I just have one more briefly?
Okay, yes.
Ms. Schaefer, so even if we did on stilts, the four structures that are shown in that drawing, you still have to provide two parking spaces for each access, underground lighting and utilities and lighting and all of the rest on that property, correct?
Correct, and you would have to meet the building height requirements. There is a limit in the UVC zone.
Yeah, and the stormwater and infiltration and all that stuff. Okay, thank you. Yes, thank you.
Can I just ask one other question? I don't know if you know the answer to this, but do you know anything about open spaces?
Yes.
If part of the land were designated open space, either voluntarily or whatever, would that change the minimum density?
So our open space code, this would be difficult. So open space as in a tax designation, you have to set aside 1 acre for your homestead. And since this is 0.37, it would be difficult to do that.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. all right. It appears that we are done with examination of this witness. Thank you very much. Mr. Getches, do you have any other witnesses to call for the county?
No, I don't.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Beebe, do you have any witnesses to call?
No, Your Honor, we have an engineer and a surveyor on the list, but there's nothing been raised that I think we need their testimony and appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. It appears then that we can proceed to closing the record as far as testimony and exhibits. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
From county standpoint.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, perfect. So we have already addressed closing arguments and set a deadline for submission on Monday, the 27th of November by 5 p.m. Is there anything else that we need to discuss for this appeal? For my consideration of this appeal?
I don't believe so.
No.
Not that I'm aware of, Your Honor, applicant.
Okay.
Yeah, we're good.
Yes, Ms. Walston has a question.
Yeah, I just wanted to confirm. So the two additional appellant exhibits, you're gonna forward those to me and then I'll stamp them, label them and redistribute and you'll—
Sure, I'll send them right now.
All right.
Cool.
That was my only question.
Okay. Well, then I appreciate everybody's time and I think we'll go ahead and close the hearing and I will await final written arguments from the parties and then we'll proceed to preparing my decision after that.
Great.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Okay. Thanks, everyone. Have a good Thanksgiving week.
You too.
You as well.